Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, this is Boston's own Mark Wahlberg, family man and the star of Ted 2. Just letting you know that I will be boycotting The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom until they give Link way more opportunities to pray. Praying for heart containers and stamina wheels just isn't enough. You can go whole days without praying in Hyrule. As a proud American and the good Father Stu himself, I don't think that's right. I have reached out to Nintendo and asked them to add the Halo app to Link's PuraPad, but they haven't returned my calls. Hey, Mr. Miyamoto, I've got a new shirt for you. It says, Stay Prayed Up. All this designer got me drip drip. Also tell Link he needs to join the 4 a.m. club and hit the gym with me. He looks like he skipped more than just leg day, if you know what I mean. Okay, I've got to go suck down a whey powder and church wine protein shake. Catch you at
F45. Not that impressive. Yeah, Linkin Park rules. Full stop. That's the end of my sentence.
And next episode... No, that's the end of the pod. Yeah, you can listen to another episode on PayFam, our Patreon-only feed. We'll be talking about Jay-Z. And so we've done...
Yeah.
And then next week, we're hopefully going to cover the Jay-Z Linkin Park mashup EP.
And then after that, we'll do the... no one remembers it anymore. The many multiple Jay-Z and R. Kelly projects they did together.
Two Jay-Z's albums. Lawyers are just...
Best of Both Worlds, I believe, is the name of their
Jay-Z's
their
lawyers are very good. To scrub those from existence.
Well, you reckon, like, let's we'll talk about these days, the fact that, yeah, Jay-Z and R. Kelly produced maybe 6 hours of audio content together.
Yeah, that's a lot of... You know, that's a lot of
true, the true name of the third song on Elephunk by the Black Eyed Peas.
One, you know what, that's a real, like, you can discern a lot about a person about which one of those two things is more important to them.
I'm a Let's Get It Started truther. And I believe
yeah,
you are too.
Me too. Yeah. I don't believe
it's
in
the only time I allow myself to say the word.
I don't believe in censorship. You know what I mean? Like I feel like
we'll especially censoring yourself.
I feel like Fergie like, and Will I Am. I feel like the whole Black Eyed Peas gang.
Yeah.
You know
Bep gang.
They're one of the biggest bands in the world of that planet, one of the biggest groups. They knew what they wanted on that album. You know, the producer knew, they hit record. I'm sure they did several takes. Mm. For them to retroactively go, we actually meant Let's Get It Started. I don't think that's them. I think that's coming from a studio head, peer pressure.
Yeah.
You know?
Anyway, to get back to Linkin Park.
I've been watching Miami Vice again, the 2006 film. And yeah, remember I showed you the opening shot at my house?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like that needle drop. It's just the start of Numb Encore.
Yeah, of course.
And it just starts in a nightclub, cold open. And it's like... That could be the greatest opening, like, of a film ever.
I love playing that song
when
I DJ.
What the hell are you waiting for?
But people get like, oh, and now he's going to play, like, other, like,
Linkin Park.
New metal-ish songs from this era. And so people always put their requests in. And occasionally I'm like, yeah, sure, let's do that. And one time it was, like, a lot of girls, like, that were, like, just like, oh, play Paramore.
Yeah.
I like play Paramore. Paramore's like, you can dance to them.
Yeah.
You know, but then they said, can you play Evanescence?
And you're like, that's why I'm
waiting up inside.
Cross.
And I was like, whatever. They're all the bar managers from
Wrong
the club crowd, I was working at.
Dickhead.
But I played it. That song is so shit to dance to.
Well, I've never danced to it.
I feel like I didn't count the time signature, but there's something wrong
with
it.
What's it called again?
You know, wake me up inside.
Wake me up inside.
Wake me up.
Yeah.
Don't wake
Save me from my. But,
yeah. And like everyone remembers singing
all these
along
songs
that
are on
song.
The loop tape in my video store when I was in high school.
Imagine a history in which Miami Vice opens with that song.
No, I wouldn't because people wouldn't be talking about
that's
it.
That's true.
I had a very funny generational moment at work today because. I'm educating this kid that sits next to me. He doesn't watch movies. You know how, like, people don't watch movies anymore? Like, young people?
And I immediately imagined you in like a scenario where you were like actually a teacher, but no, you're educating a kid
next to me.
Like it's not his, he doesn't want this, obviously.
No, he does. He's like, I want you to like educate
me. I want you to educate me, daddy.
No, he's literally said like, I want you to like teach me about movies. He's okay. Like, I feel really underrepresented. He's like, I haven't even watched The Matrix. He's right. Born the year it came out.
And you were like, okay, cool. Lesson one, watch The Matrix.
No, and I was like, lesson one, check out this opening scene of Miami Vice today. And I cranked the speakers and I'm like, just watch this. That's a Universal logo. Normally there's like blah, blah, production. I'm like, just watch this cut. This is what a good film is. And then it's like, do, 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 do. And he was like, oh, it's the Jay-Z version. I'm like, yeah, so what? And he's like, oh, nah, it's like, it's already got a rapper on there. Like, there's this younger generation that love Linkin Park. Like,
yeah.
And I'm just like, this is sick. And then I realize, I'm like, oh, this came out when I was in high school. And when they were in high school, they were discovering old band Linkin Park. And they're like, oh, this Jay-Z one's, nah, I don't like it. And
whereas,
like,
yeah, for me, it was like, oh, there was a bunch of weird kids in my school who liked Linkin Park. And I was like, Jay-Z no, thank you. And then Jay-Z hopped on it. And I was Hover like, jumped on I that. Like these songs, actually.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God. It's like in 21 Jump Street when they go back to school and they're like, oh, the cool kids wear the one strap bag. Remember how they're like,
yeah.
And it was that. And I was like, oh, fuck, no, they're actually like the Linkin Park one. They're purist, even though they're like, weren't born when Hybrid Theory came out. It was bizarre.
I've never listened to that full EP that Jay-Z and Linkin Park together.
No,
it's really funny, though. I've heard snippets of it.
Yeah.
I know the Jay-Z songs, but not the Linkin Park songs.
I only obviously, know. Obviously, I know,
oh, the thing she said to me. And then he goes, 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
I mean, that's kind of genius. Yeah, like, give him the Grammy. Give him the fucking Grammy. Give him the Oscar.
And I feel like I only know the songs because back when we were like growing up and watching TV with ads in it, there would always be like ads. One of my favorite types of ads.
Yeah, the Hybrid Theory ad. Yeah.
Or they would play like snippets of all the songs that were on.
The new album by Linkin Park. I remember so well the Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness ad where it would play
Bullet
with Butterfly
clips.
Wings, Tonight, 1979, and Zero. And it was like the 2-disc album out now, $32.95. And I was like, whoa.
And you literally don't need a single song besides those four that you heard in the commercial.
Probably would be the greatest single album of all time. Single
just
disc
four,
album.
Four songs.
Best EP of all time.
Yeah.
Nah, there's still some haters on there. Where Boys Fear to Tread's really good. 33 is good.
I don't think I only know the Pumpkins singles.
I really
Today
know.
Today is my favorite song of this.
It's such a good song. Siamese Dream, Melancholy and Adore is like, they're the only Pumpkins I know.
But they toured Australia recently, right?
Yeah, with Wrestlers.
Like it's like the,
I kind of wanted to go. Dude, they did it. They got cancelled, but they booked an outside show at Wollongong. And I was like, I have to go to this. And Billy Corgan runs a wrestling federation in Chicago. Did you know this?
Why?
Because he's Billy. Like, why wouldn't you? But not only does he run it, but he had them come out and they were wrestling on stage while they were performing like Bullet with Butterfly Wings and stuff. Like professional wrestling.
That actually is sick as hell.
I know. Yeah. But then the Wollongong show got cancelled and moved to the Horden. But
it's just like the last person I associate with wrestling.
Nah, it's very like Americana, I think. It's very like...
Yeah, but he's not very Americana to me.
He grew up with that though, that 70s. Like he was a kid in the basement playing guitar.
But he was such a weird little freak.
Well, yeah, little freaks are into wrestling.
That's true, but yeah, I guess I don't know.
But they were the first ever concert I saw, but that was like original Pumpkins.
But no wrestlers in the lineup back then.
No, I was into Steve,
I feel like
Stone Cold
there's almost
Steve
a line in the sand. You either like the Pumpkins or you like wrestling.
But this
is
why he's so progressive. He's bringing them together. Right. Yeah. It's like now someone bringing together like Pornhub and
Jesus.
He's been around too long. Pornhub and Jordan Peterson.
Okay.
And being like,
I
think like Jordan Peterson fans are into like not coming. It's like seed retention.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of
but that seed retenters still watch porn. They just don't bust.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. They watch it for the comments.
They get the ads. It's like, try not to come.
They comment on it.
And they're way ahead of you. You've been doing this for 3 years.
Speaking of porn, I watched Hardcore on the weekend. Not porn, the film, the Paul Schrader film. You seen it?
His new one, right?
No, it's from 1978.
His new movie.
Actually, it's so old.
He has a new. Is that he's like what? Because he has a new one, right? What's his new one?
He has a new one. The Professional Gardener.
The
or
best
something.
Thing is, I only know that he has a new movie out because you sent me a link to a Ringer podcast about Fast and Furious 10.
Oh, and the second half.
And the second
Schrader.
Half is them talking about a new Paul Schrader movie.
Yeah,
which I turned off. I'm like, I
it's
get the
so
fuck
old
out
that
of here.
There's a pan over a street and there's an ad saying in theaters now the original Star Wars.
Wow.
But Hardcore's crazy. It's about this dude. And he's like a Christian family, like middle class.
He stays prayed up.
He's praying up. He gets up at 2 a.m. That alarm is set for 2:45 a.m. for that 3 a.m. pray. But these they send these like kids off to like Christian camp or something. His daughter doesn't return. Turns out she's in hardcore porn and he's got to go to like the West Coast and like, it's like Taxi Driver. And he's just like furious, hates his life. And he's just like this old piece of shit, pretends to be a movie producer and starts casting porn in a hotel he's staying at to try and like find the guy that fucked his daughter. Cause the private eye played him the film. He's like, I found where your daughter is. This is it. And like plays him this like crazy hardcore film. And then he's like, no, have you probably seen the meme? It's like, that's my daughter.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. And then he's like on a mission to get her back. It's insane. It's like, I think it's just post Taxi Driver. So similar energy, just like deadbeat dude.
Similar energy, except there's a Star Wars poster.
Yeah. So, you know, this one's a documentary.
And Travis Bickle stole someone's daughter, whereas this guy's trying to get his daughter back.
Yeah. It's great. I had a straight a week and I watched that in The Card Counter, which is his second most recent film with Oscar Isaac.
Oh, cool.
Really good. Tiffany Haddish as well.
Great movie. What's his latest one?
It's not like The Constant Gardener. It's something The Professional Gardener.
That's something. Right. That's the one, yeah.
Yeah. Joel Edgerton. He plays a proud boy who becomes a gardener.
Man, I gotta watch this guy's fucking
Shrade is great. Mishima is like one of the best. That's on my... That's like my... Well, my remember, you guys spoke about it on the pod and a bunch of people listened. I think I was just like, man, I watched
this. Here's the thing about our pod. A bunch of people listen every week.
It's so weird. It's so weird. No, everyone's lovely. speaking of, the reason why I was... educating, mansplaining Miami Vice. Mansplaining, that's fun, with double N, Michael Mann.
Oh, that's good stuff.
I'm doing a screening of Miami Vice this month.
Oh, cool.
Golden Age. First Man. Cinematic screen. I think they're doing two sessions. It's that popular. So I think we're making a hat or something. I don't fucking know. I don't see any.
Make some socks.
Yeah, I don't do t-shirts. I'm like, I'm the only guy who buys like 20 t-shirts a year. No one else does. So sure, I'm going to diversify. Socks would be sick.
No, dude, sunglasses.
No, I like would want them to be good.
But what about like sunglasses holder? The little like the ribbon that goes around the back of your sunglasses. Good. Yeah.
It just says, I got contact high from Colin Farrell while on the set of Miami Vice and all I got with his glasses holder. He was so coked to that, but he can't remember it.
That's so crazy.
He's like, I have no recollection.
Method acting carries... or he was just in
No, he was a fully fledged drug addict at that point. And he's been like sober ever. That was the movie, The Point of No Return. So in a you've seen how he looks.
Of course,
right?
Yeah. I need to rewatch
it. He looks
movie.
Like Ray Velcoro before The Hangover. You could almost watch season two of True Detective as a like a sequel to Miami Vice. And he's like washed up.
Does he
to the
fuck
West.
Any redheads?
No, he fucks an Asian woman.
Okay.
Who's not redhead. She's blackhead.
Just trying to work out where Chad.
But it was a long, you know, that's
also over... also Chad, maybe not his son, remember?
Exactly. Also, it's only said over like a week. Like there's a lot of redhead women he could be fucking.
It's true. Velcoro.
Fuck. Yeah, he's Chad Velcoro. What a beautiful boy.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he's... I wonder which streaming service he's subscribed to. And
whatever Friends is on.
Do they have all the Friends episodes?
That was like... I know people give shit to season... I actually saw a movie... When I saw Fast 10, Henry was there. He sat next to me. And we were chatting about...
Henry Stone from the Blank Slate Movie Podcast. Only true Hey Fam fans remember that one.
We're actually friends, everyone. We went feuding. and we were chatting about... Mahershala Ali for some reason, and he was like, "Oh,
you were listening. No, I'm so excited for Blade."
No, we're like, "How wild is it that Nick Palazzo is? Do you know he's writing Blade? He's the screenwriter for the movie.
That's right. Yeah, he got him in after.
Yeah. So we're like, "How wild is that?" And then we're talking about True Detective, and Henry's like, "Oh, you?" He's like, "I agree with you." He's like, "You were like one of the only people I know that like writes for season two." I'm like, "Dude, it's insane."
Yeah, that was like such an era of Hey Fam.
That was our first
I thought it all went to shit at the end, but that kind of added to it.
Yeah, I think it's just a weird sprawling
all the women and just pregnant and dead. At the end.
That is our first what do you call it when you're like, it's on the tip of my tongue, not content, when you're like contrarian. That was our first contrarian take.
Cool, sure.
And I love that.
Yeah, everyone fucking hated that series.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
It's so weird that there's a new one coming out and he's got nothing to do with it. Like, he left True Detective.
Fake Detective.
It's someone else. And it looks kind of like, I'm worried about the trailer because it shows this, it looks like they're like Rise of Skywalkering it. They show the symbol of the Yellow King in it.
That was the problem was everyone just wanted him to do the first season of True Detective again.
Yeah, and it looks like they're doing that now. And it looks like they're linking this one to the first one and being like, remember the
it's
one
too
you
messy.
Liked?
Well, didn't they link season three, which we loved, to season one in its own way as well?
Oh, there might be there was a newspaper report, right?
Yeah, it was like,
but it was very linked. Tenuous. Yeah, exactly. Like it didn't focus on it where this
still
is
still unnecessary, but
this is in the trailer and it's like a close up of that like spiral symbol. And it's just like, oh, I mean, I'll wait and watch it first, but it's just like very much like, hey, you know the one you liked? Like, yeah, here it is again. Like, I don't care. I've seen that one. I can watch it whenever I want.
Do True Detective Season 2, Part 2.
That's what a real fucking like brave
Chad Velcora would be an 18-year-old by now.
I want it like Blade Runner 2049, set in the future. Chad Velcora looking at a huge hologram of his dad. Like the 2049 shot.
Yeah.
That's tight.
So you mentioned Jesus earlier. Maybe I mentioned Jesus.
No, you did. Yeah.
But let's
you
mention
were the one
again.
That was Catholic schooled.
Because I think it's time to check back in on the Hey Fam Guy of the Year watch.
Oh, DJ?
What?
Khaled. Oh, he was a winner, sorry.
DJ Khaled won our Guy of the Year award.
He's tipping the scales as well, and I don't mean physically. I mean, he's
no,
also...
he actually posted he lost 15 pounds in the last week.
That's what golf will do.
He was like, look at my neck. I have a neck. It's a pretty amazing so video.
Good. Dude, he's so good.
So look, we dinged him a few points because his feed was exclusively golf. And
his feed became very Wahlbergian.
Well, here's who I think might be taking the Guy of the Year awards for me. Okay. Because, I mean, the Guy of the Year, it doesn't have to be someone that we appreciate.
No, it's just someone who's made like
an impact.
Like, huge impact.
Someone who lives in my head, I think that should be the
someone one. Who, like, you and I don't even communicate anymore or, in words. We just send videos.
Or, and the most, yeah, and in particular, like, neither of us, sometimes neither of us will follow this guy. But yet we'll send each other videos that he's in constantly.
That other people have posted or something.
Or just, these videos find their way into our lives.
That's the impact of Guy of the Year. They come to you. That's the thing.
Exactly.
We don't pick them. They kind of pick themselves and present themselves.
I really think Wahlberg's in the lead at the
dude,
moment.
He is
unhinged.
Doubling down on... No, he's tripling down. It's like, I don't know if he's in financial strife because he's tagging Hollow and everything. And so, they've been like, you owe us 40 content pieces a month on Holly. Like, he's going crazy and he's like leaning into it.
But he's making these inane videos
of him praying in weird spaces.
I've never seen anyone like monetize. Obviously, like, people monetize religion to such a disgusting degree.
I mean, it's kind of the backbone of religion.
Yeah, exactly. But the way that he does it is so unique.
Yeah.
He will put like a 10-second reel of him in front of
post prayer, like just getting up.
He gets
after,
up and he just makes a sign of the cross, then looks at the camera and says, stay prayed up, and then walks off.
Dude, it's like they've made an android do it or something. Like,
I need
nothing...
to know who's filming him, what he's saying. I want to know how many takes there are.
Do you think he's come around the corner when it looks like I'm finished praying? Was he like, no, you stay and film the whole thing, we're just going to put up the end? Like, yeah, I want to know what's going into those prayer videos.
This guy is meant to be making movies.
No, he's not anymore. And not only that, so he does those, but then he does the, like, just lifts up his shirt, shows his underwear.
I don't even know if you can buy his clothes anywhere.
No, and they've been saying for 2 years they're coming out.
It's
like, guys, the shoes are coming soon. They're coming out. Look at that. We got the socks. We got the drawers. We got the shorts. Stay prayed up. He's not making any movies since Uncharted. No, he's about to star in Mel Gibson,
right?
Dude, that's so cool.
That would
cool.
be so funny if we give our Guy of the Year to a guy making a movie with Mel Gibson.
Dude, it would be so funny when we give it to him this year and Mel Gibson next year for making a movie with Mark Wahlberg. They love Jesus more than anyone.
It's so funny.
They bat for Jesus so hard.
So the type of content Mark Wahlberg puts out in
Stay
the world
up.
Now. So it's like a prayed up video.
Yeah.
And they are the real short one. They're short and sweet.
Like 7 seconds max.
Then you have like the 30-second videos where he goes through all the municipal clothes that
and
he's
that's generally
at the time.
Pre or post workout. As he's walking towards the gym, he'll show it off, or it's after his gym sesh, and he's like, got the drawers, got the shorts, got the shoes.
So that's the micro content, the short form content. He is putting long form content out
Ted
in the world too.
Right? That's
so what he's doing is
on the Hollow app?
No, it's him in the gym with like
really,
really unfit dudes.
Girly dudes.
Like
are
they his money guys?
They're his boys.
They're right.
They're
okay.
The municipal. So if you watch Wall Street, I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, I know all these guys. They're like the dudes in bed. And he's like, come on, Larry, you gotta lose 15 pounds. You said you'd do it, come on. And they're like, come on, he was weighing 196 last month. We got him down to 2 6. Like, he's always just, yeah. It's
he
wild.
Was like, he put up a video with this enormous guy recently. And he was like, well done, you know, Chuck. You just did a 1 hour, 50 minute workout with me.
Did you see him eating the other day, his breakfast?
Yeah.
Did I send you that one?
You gotta keep eating.
He's just got salmon. Like, it was Liver King-esque.
So
he just had this, like, plate.
He thought he was just eating salmon, but then he got handed
a muffin with, you got the almond butter?
Yeah. And it's all about, you know, like, yeah, you've got to keep bulking.
He's like, it must be for a roll.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just to maintain his body. You can't have muscles like that without
eating.
Feeding each individual muscle.
I mean, I was going to say, the guy mustn't have any time, but we know that. He shares his schedule. Like, we know he doesn't. We know what his schedule is.
And, like, I've been watching, obviously, like you and most of the world right now, Succession. And, like, you know, I feel like a lot of people are always like, where's Kendall's kids? At the moment, I'm like, where's Mark Wahlberg's family?
Oh, they don't exist.
I know what he does every minute of the day now, and I haven't seen him do anything.
I don't know if this is real, but someone...
I hope it isn't. Just share it with me, brother.
Entourage reboot, but Mark Wahlberg's still at the helm.
That's crazy.
It should be reboot and just about him. Like, yeah, absolutely. They just go, oh, it's now.
And is it... It's him, but with actors?
It's him. Ari Gold's his, like, agent. It's all the same actors, except for Vince. It's just Mark Wahlberg living with Johnny Drama. Turtle. But they're all old and, like, look... And he looks better than them despite
being...
And
he's going to get them all in shape.
Come on, guys. We've got to join that 3 a.m. club. If I'm going to eat... If I'm going to get a, I don't know, like, blowjob from this girl... You know, what do they used to
no,
do?
No, no sex.
Reverse cowgirl.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
If I'm going to reverse cowgirl... Favorite move.
Every episode ended with him reverse cowgirl.
And opened. I mean, that's kind of the genius of Entourage. You could watch it like Memento back to front, and the reverse cowgirl looks like it's a missionary
sex. Original flat circle show on HBO. Yeah.
Damn.
We sent each other some excellent Wahlberg heaters.
Dude, do you know what I was devastated? I went through our IG chat today.
Yeah.
Because I was saying to somebody in the office just how good 50 Cent is on Instagram. He's done a fucking clean feed.
No, I hate it.
Because what was the one? What was he promoting when he was holding a gun? Remember that one? And I was like, dude, this is post of the year. And I went on Twitter to try to find the screenshot. Yeah. It was him holding like an AK-47.
But it was him like talking about a movie? Gun, a movie with another
guy.
Yeah,
and it was so tenuously linked.
We talked about it on the show. Someone let us know what we said.
If you can find it, like the screenshot.
Look up 50 Cent with a gun.
Yeah, trust me. A lot of content comes up and I was not in the mood to look through it.
Yeah, let's just hear like your typical Mark Wahlberg Stay Prayed Up video.
Please, please. Just whispering at the...
So that was a 6-second video in which, yeah, he's praying at some random statue.
The dude looks like he lives in fucking Hyrule. Throughout his whole house and backyard, he has random statues.
Yeah, do you reckon he got a stamina or a heart container?
He doesn't need stamina. That boy maxed out stammies first.
But I think that this one, which is a bit longer, I love it because it's just so odd.
That Can you just hear that again?
Yeah, of course.
I got to hear that shit.
Happy Sunday, everybody. Make sure you stay prayed up. God bless you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dude, it's so weird. I love it.
And then, like, yeah.
Just the weird, like, the shot of the, like, prayer garden.
The camera pans around to reveal that he was in something called a prayer garden.
Remember when he, like, F-45'd, like, Lent? When he went on, he went on the news and called it Mark Wahlberg's 45-day challenge, despite the fact it's literally, like several millennium years old. Like, it's, like, several thousand-year-old thing called Lent. It's, like...
It's 2,000, Angus.
2,000.
2,000.
Well, yeah, several. soon to be, maybe. Yep. No, I don't think Christianity's going to exist in 1,000 years.
Mm, God willing. Stay prayed
up. Don't let Mark you that.
But yeah, I think Mark Wahlberg at the moment is the most grimly entertaining person.
Yeah, and think about it, he's come a long way because I reckon it was this time last year he was in Uncharted.
Yeah, like the least entertaining I've ever seen.
Yeah, and also two cuts of Father Stew. The Snyder Cut and...
What were the two cuts again? Like, what?
One was one where he like drinks in it, I think, and does like unsavory things. And then... He'd recut it so kids could watch it because he thought that would make it like a big movie and neither of them made money. Turns out no one wants to see Mark Wahlberg playing a priest with from the wrong side of the tracks but with a heart of gold.
What the fuck is this movie with Mel Gibson going to be about then?
It's probably the first.
Wasn't he in that too?
Yeah, he was Father Stew.
No, Mel Gibson was in Father Stew.
Yeah. I reckon it's just Father Stew, the third cut. I think Mel's like, give it to me this time.
Yeah.
Let's see what
we'll
I can do.
We'll show some realistic depictions of Christ's death.
Yeah, in this one, Father Stew starts saying like, he questions the Holocaust.
Cool.
And I think that's the difference with this one. He goes, 6 million...
Children love that.
It's very, you know, it seems like a lot of people.
Speaking of... potential guys of the year.
Okay.
Let's do a bit of a fast 10 revisit. You got some incredible news today from Vin Diesel.
From the horse's mouth. So, I mean, the movie is doing numbers. It's not doing well domestically. It's making so much money overseas.
In any countries in particular?
All of them.
Okay, like, really?
Yeah, every country where a cast member is represented. So, all of them. But yeah, Vin has got his sights set on ending the franchise, but not for the reasons you would think. It's because he's got a taste of spin-off fever, baby. And he said, like, basically, he's like, I can't wait to finish this mainline series so I can get started and cranking out these damn spin-offs. One that I've seen doing the rounds, one of the most rumored ones, is akin to the Marvel Endgame scene where all the ladies get it done. All the ladies spin-off. So, Cypher, Brie Larson, Michelle Rodriguez, right. Ramsey, and Gal Gadot doing like a Girl on the Furious.
And probably Vin too.
Well, Vin will be there. Yeah,
yeah. Vin's Angels.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, Dom's Angels.
That's rumored to be like one of them, just an all-girl one where they like, you know, do the same thing but without guys.
And he mentioned that he's been developing the female spin-off since 2017.
He's still figuring out what women are. He's in his sixth year of going, I think I've got it.
Yeah.
And that, you know why he wants to do that one too? Because Hobbs isn't in it because he's a man. So I think he's like, I will do spin-offs, but no Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, I think he took a hit to his ego when that movie came out.
Yeah. I mean, besides the fact women can't drive, I'm looking forward to that film. Maybe that's what it's about. Maybe Vin's teaching them.
Right.
Yeah, he's like, well...
Or they can ride motorbikes.
Now they've been relegated to motorcycles.
And Ramsay knows stuff now.
Yeah, yeah.
Do any women drive cars in the Fast franchise?
Michelle Rodriguez used to up until 9, and then something weird happened behind the scenes, and she's strictly on motorbikes.
It's like, it's almost like...
She's like street racing with him in every movie. Like, he competes with her in 6 to help rejig her memory. Rita Ora runs a race in London when she's working for the other show, Owen Shaw, and he's like racing with her, and now she just has gone straight to bikes. It's really weird.
It's like a Mario Kart.
Yeah, she got the Wii version,
like,
and not
Peach. Like Mario Brothers movie, Peach is on the bike.
That's right.
Everyone
wow.
else gets a cart.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Maybe Peach is going to be in this spin-off.
You've got Peach.
Both
got
Universal
Father
properties.
Father Stew's mom. Yeah, yep. You're right. They are.
What's the Russell Crowe movie where he's like the Pope on a motorbike?
Oh, the Pope's Exorcist. That'd be nice. Yeah. That and in his little Vespa.
He wasn't the Pope. Was he the Pope?
No, he was the Pope's Exorcist.
Oh, right.
He was the exorciser.
So the Pope has a fucking demon in that movie?
I haven't seen it, but I mean, like, all good titles usually, you know, will give you a taste.
Yeah, whenever I go see a... I'm
trying to think of a funny name still for an all-girl Fast and Furious. I'm trying to think of something about, like, syncing up periods.
It writes itself.
Yeah. I don't know enough about that, though, to weigh in. I feel like it's not...
Why is that, Angus?
Well, I couldn't be cast in the movie, for starters. Menstruation and the... No, I can't do it. What's another thing girls do? I don't know them.
They boss.
Oh yeah, sure. Okay, the boss and the boobius. That's cool.
Perfect. Coming Finn? To cinemas, 2027.
Yeah. What else do you think we'll get in terms of spin-off?
I reckon, like, he already tried the kids market with that dog
shitty TV show,
Netflix
Spy
series.
Races,
and all of the, like. I mean, I feel like one of us should do a deep dive in all the video games.
Yeah, because you know the one that came out, the one that they announced at the Jeff Keighley show a few years ago. Do you know that's been pulled from existence?
I thought it came out.
It came out on like only digital, I believe.
Right.
It was pulled.
Oh, right.
They said, it's only available for 1 more month. Like, I think the feedback for that game was so bad. That's why they've removed it.
It's such a no-brainer to make a good one. Like, obviously it needs a decent 100%. Budget, but like, why wouldn't you just allow that to have a decent budget?
Because it's all gone to Ark 2, the game which I think they announced 8 years ago.
And that's not out yet, is it?
No, I don't even know what it is.
And like Vin Diesel was like, yeah, I've put 3,000 hours into Ark 1.
That's amazing. That's such a flex. I believe it too. He loves Dungeons and Dragons.
Must have fucking hurt to have that Michelle Rodriguez got the role.
No, I was watching her red carpet in Rome, and I think she said Vin's a dungeon master.
I think
he'd have a great voice for it.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
Can he read though?
I love the guy still. I think he's, I mean, I really
I
don't like
lost
this
his
movie.
Way.
I think he's lost his way, but you know, we've got to bring him back.
How do you bring someone like Vin Diesel back? But there's people arguing. Some people are like, this 10th one is no better or worse than the 9th one, which I have a huge
problem with. I hugely disagree with that because one key factor, Justin Lin, who, as we...
He understands the balance of the, a fine of the balance. Insanity and yeah. the heart.
This one, yeah, look, we're not going to talk about Fast 10 again, like ragging on it.
We did
like,
an hour and a half
We've
last
done two
week.
Episodes on it. But I think he can be brought back.
Yeah, I feel like this movie had to fucking tank for him to come back to the good side.
Well, though. It tanked domestically. So maybe Vin needs to win the American audience back over.
What is tanking domestically? It's a Fast movie mean? Like just a few hundred thousand or something?
No, a few millions of dollars.
Oh yeah, well, that's what I mean. It made 100 million as opposed to... As
it was like a couple thousand, like what? Yeah, in the 1930s maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's like, it's underperformed. I think it only made like whatever, but it's doing numbers all everywhere else, which is kind of like where they care now.
Yeah. Well, it looks like the next movie that's going to...
Oh no, but that's right. The other thing was that amazingly like brick shithouse dude who was in this one, Ames.
The guy we found from out Reacher. Today...
The guy from Reach Around, we found out today that role was originally written for one Keanu Reeves.
There's no way that would have even worked.
No, it's a completely different movie if that happens.
Yeah.
Plus,
he brings
like,
such a different energy to that. Like, I don't know what energy that guy was trying to bring, but it was like...
Well, he wasn't bringing any.
Yeah, it was energy less.
Yeah, yeah. It was like year zero. There was no power.
The guy's insane. Like, yeah. Chicken and broccoli diet for 20 years.
You know that set stanks. You know his trailer's stanky. Smells like microwaved steamed vegetables.
Yeah, he's always got like powder like underneath his nostrils and it ain't Coke.
It's protein whey. Shit. Yeah. Yeah. You know he has his own toilet on site.
Well, yeah, because he shits once a week.
Yeah.
But when
he
does.
When he shits, he shits. Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hectic.
But yeah, the next movie that I think is going to take even more wind out of Fast 10 sales, you saw it on Monday night.
Oh, yeah, I saw it, but I'm more excited about who else I saw there.
So Angus saw The Little Mermaid remake.
That's right.
Have you seen all these remakes now?
Nah, I've seen The Lion King. I started Beauty and the Beast once when I got home drunk and fell asleep.
Shocking. Shocking.
Haven't watched it. Aladdin, which I didn't like.
Oh, that was fine.
It's, yeah, I don't like it.
Made me want to see a good Guy Ritchie movie.
Lion King, which look, I still like. I think it's an interesting exercise. I don't think it's a good film. I think it's really bizarre. It's kind of like the Gus Van Sant Psycho, where it's like, what I like about The Lion King, it commits to looking like a documentary. All these other ones have these like elements of very grounded human characters doing fantastical things and then like a photorealistic animal, which just doesn't work because like those Disney movies are made for like kids who are learning like about expression and facial features. So like Sebastian, Lumiere, all these like side characters are very animated. They're very expressive, you know. But this one, that you can't see their features because they're so, like, the filmmakers realistic are so and, yeah. honed in on making them grounded and realistic. And
so
it's like,
dumb.
That's why these are cartoons in the first place, because they let you do those things. But yeah, I saw, it was at the State Theater, really stupid big premiere.
Yeah,
like,
bougie
the cast
premiere.
There, Melissa McCarthy, answering the call, she was there.
I loved her in Thor, Love and Thunder.
Oh, she plays
Enchantress.
That's right, in the play. I forgot about that completely. Another movie.
It wasn't very memorable.
Another movie I've forgotten about.
That we went to a weird over-the-top premiere.
Well, this was kind of similar. There were like bento boxes at all the seats of food.
Was it fish?
Well, no. Funnily enough, it was sushi, but they didn't opt for fish sushi. It was vegetarian and chicken. And I was like, good move. If you got kids here who are like, Mom, why am I eating flounder?
I remember we went and saw Finding Dory, and I saw it at Hornsby Westfield, and directly below at the fish market, it just said this gigantic sign, Dory, $7.99 a kilo.
Damn. Damn. Hectic. So I went. I was with Alexi, another featured guest on this podcast. Yeah, it's like exactly what you expect. Just like it
soulless.
But it's just the weirdest crowd. And
so you're not going to talk about the movie at all, are you? You're just going to talk about the crowd.
Well, like, what can I say? It's like the little...
Was it good at all?
No, I mean, it's made worse by the existence of The Way of Water. Literally, because, like, that movie looked incredible in the underwater scenes. Like,
yeah.
And we know now the painstaking lengths that James Cameron and his team went to, like, making that possible. And, like, you know, that involved Kate Winslet learning to hold her breath.
15 minutes.
For, like, 14 minutes. Developing all that crazy technology with like suits that would film them underwater, cameras on their face. This is just that like airy Aquaman shit where you can tell they're not wet. They're just sitting
they've CGI'd hair.
There's no bubbles. There's no like buoyancy. It's just like very murky. But the audience was crazy, and they must have like kudos to Disney to having like whoever they invited. Their like invite list was crazy because the audience. I think they thought it was a play because they were clapping and standing up after every song.
Shit.
When they were saying lines, like, what's an iconic line from Little Mermaid? It's not one I'm that familiar with. Iconic shot. So when she was hitting, like, when she's on the rocks and, like, flips her hair back and says that, like, big line from whatever song, the audience were, like, hooting and hollering. When they were literally saying lines from, like, I guess the cartoon, the audience were, like, standing. It was, like... I reckon 20, and I'm not joking, there were like 20 moments where the audience erupted, like when Cap got Thor's hammer in Endgame.
That's so weird.
And I was like just staring at Alexi being like, I don't know if he found it as weird as me, but I was like, this feels weird. I was like, this is strange. This is the State Theater and there's people like hooting and hollering.
Yeah, like I grew up with that movie.
I never owned it on video, which back then was like, how you became obsessed with a movie because it was all you had before streaming.
We had Beauty and the Beast.
Movies because you just played. Yeah, Beauty and the Beast.
That's my Disney movie.
That was the first one I had on VHS. I had that trilogy, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King. That were the only three I got on video because I kind of grew out of it after maybe. Like, I wasn't into Pocahontas.
That makes sense.
And then the next one was like...
Yeah, they started making dog shit movies too.
Yeah, like, yeah. So that run was all I had on video. So I like ran the fuck out of Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and
But I know those Lion songs King. Back to front. Like, I think Part of Your World is one of my favorite Disney songs.
Yeah, that's
how,
a good song.
But how is that in the movie? Is it good? Because that was... That my biggest problem with the Beauty and the Beast remake was that the songs, like one of the core reasons people like these movies were just so flat.
The same. So you have this like Under the Sea, which is like, you know, Technicolor musical. And in this, it's just like a photorealistic crab singing it. And like, they don't get outrageous because it's like hell-bent.
Like dancing?
Kind of. But it's just like a girl going like this, like looking around by this fucking like pussy smashing crab. Just like kind of looks real, but doesn't. Kind of has like the crab, Mr. Crab's eyes, like those long, weird eyes. Like,
yeah, right.
It's so weird. And like, they try to get Flounder in it and they've just realized they can't because it looks so fucked. It's so strange. But they've also tried to like, they've added new songs. Like the dude sings a song in it. And they've
Eric,
kind of...
Prince Eric.
Yeah, they've kind of made him like parallel to the mermaid now because he's like an orphan who got raised by a king and queen. And he's like, oh, I'm trapped in this family.
Oh,
so
God.
They now can relate.
Actually, I just remember the worst fucking part in Beauty and the Beast remake is she finds something that like teleports her to like...
What?
Yeah, there's like this bizarre moment in it. Like,
that's so wild.
Oh, it's the mirror that shows you, it shows you anything, whatever. That's from the... I can't remember what
I think that's Harry Potter.
But they have this insane like moment where they... I can't remember what happens in it. But it's like in the middle of like... a riot or something. It's very
that's
fucking
so
weird.
Bonk. Like, oh, you know which one's great? The Jungle Book.
Right, okay, sure.
That one's really good. Okay. That's really good. That's like
Bill Murray is
Bill Murray's Blue. Christopher Walken is King Louis. That's really impressive.
Who plays the French chef in Little Mermaid? Is there a French chef?
No.
What? So no one sings like like he's singing. No, wow. No. That's crazy.
They change the ending. Because did they just like fight on a boat at the end at the wedding? It's very like anticlimactic.
Yeah. Like yeah, Prince Eric just crashes his boat into Ursula.
Yeah. No, this is completely different. Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, I'm not gonna see this.
Yeah, cool. I wish I did. It goes. She becomes like Ursula becomes like Calypso from Pirates of the Caribbean and just becomes like Godzilla and this massive.
What does that mean? What's who's Calypso?
Remember Calypso in the third? Did you watch the third?
No, I never saw the third.
She's like that bitch that gets really big. She gets like massive, like Godzilla.
Okay.
Ursula. How? I don't know. Ursula. Wait, who? Ursula or Calypso?
Calypso.
I saw that like 20 years ago. I can't remember.
Yeah, right.
But Ursula.
Ursula gets really big in the cartoon too. But
does she really?
Yeah.
So like Godzilla size.
Well, it's like she takes up a big portion of the screen for a moment and then she gets a boat crashed through her.
Oh, okay. So that happens in this. I had no idea how the original ended. She gets like big and evil and like looks different.
All she does is like maniacally laugh in the
cartoon. Oh, in this one she's like slow like and she starts. But yeah, and then they steer a boat into it. So it's exactly the same.
Is Poor Unfortunate Souls like camp and fun or is that?
What's that?
That's Ursula's big song. Poor Unfortunate Souls.
I can't remember. I think I drifted off.
Yeah.
I think I honestly fell asleep because I put in.
Oh, you did say, yeah.
70
yeah.
hours into Tears of the Kingdom.
So yeah, we got the play times today.
So funny how they issue you them after 10 days.
It's bizarre.
Such a fucking. It must be like a Japanese rule where they're like, oh, at the end of the work cycle, you can only know how long you were. Like it's probably tied deeply into their national identity.
So I did 35 plus hours, and you're at 60 plus?
65 plus now, I think. Yeah.
How many temples you done?
50, 60?
No, not shrines.
Oh, temple. Sorry, two. But I'm stopping that and I'm just going like depths mad at the moment.
Depths is crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of, it gives like roguelike vibes.
Yeah, it makes it like Elden Ring. It makes it more like Elden Ring. I've been doing a lot of depths and I'm not doing what they're telling me to. So I'm making it really hard. They're like, go outside and like do this easy way and drop in. And I'm like, nah. And I'm like looking into the distance at like the light route and then building, because I have like the auto build.
Yeah.
Just like making like hovercrafts and shit and just like zooming. And I've been working on making my batteries bigger.
Yeah, cool.
So I've just been doing kind of that stuff because I like don't want to.
It's fun doing busy work in this game is sort of fun and satisfying. Yeah.
So I'm doing that. So I'm like maybe 60 shrines, 2 temples. Just I've done heaps of side quests as well, like heaps, like the election, all that stuff. Have you done any of that stuff?
Yeah, that's in the Hateno.
Yeah so I've maxed out like a lot of the villages, like and main. Like main populace's like side quests.
Yeah, cool.
Got like a special. I've got a gold horse.
Whoa.
From like that's a mission, like one of Zelda's horses.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah, so I just kind of been focusing on that shit.
Yeah, all the side shit is so good.
Yeah,
I've been doing all the newspaper stuff. I've done one of the so temples.
Good. Wind.
Yeah, wind, and then I've done half of the water one as well.
Oh, like, I haven't done. I did wind and fire.
Okay, cool.
So I was hanging out in Death Mountain. I'm kind of going to Puro, who kind of pushes you in the direction of the right one to go to next.
Yeah, right. I just stumbled upon.
Yeah. It's all muddy and shit.
Yeah, it's covered in black cum. And you've got to throw fruit at it to dissolve the cum.
Just like in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I forgot to ask in the Little Mermaid chat, what is.
Oh, yeah, let's keep talking about
what's it. What's Awkwafina's first line?
Because
I thought it was going to be, hey, girl.
It's honestly something like that.
Yeah, right.
It's like. Yeah, share your receipts.
How was her rap written by Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Yeah, like when I exited the theater, I was like, this feels like a bit like it feels like a 30 Rock bit leaving a live action remake of The Little Mermaid and being like, wow, I can't believe Lin-Manuel Miranda made Awkwafina rap in it. Like, it just doesn't, it feels like a Mad Libs or something.
Sure.
It's a new song and it's dog shit.
Yeah, Scuttle is like such a small character.
So Scuttle is like huge in this because I think they're like, it's pretty weird if the human cast are just hanging at water all the time and flounders everywhere and a crab can live out of water. So I think, I think they literally changed the roles because the fish is barely in it.
No, flounder isn't in it too much in the second half of the original.
Sure.
But Sebastian's in heaps of it because he's like, he's living in the castle pretty much.
Yeah, so he does that.
but he has to escape like this evil French chef.
Yeah, that's not in it. In this
one, and it pretty much becomes like a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Yeah, I remember that. I watched it recently. I had to babysit, and like the kid put it on.
Yeah,
but
it's fun. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it doesn't look great. I think it's kind of the ugly phase of Disney movies.
Well, they rotoscoped a girl from SNL's face for Ariel's face, which is why there's so many weird freeze frames from it.
Really?
Yeah.
But it just looks, even though, like, I remember, I used to think of it, I think I thought it was, like, far more, it feels very, like, small.
Yeah, it's a pretty quick movie. All the effects are put into Ursula.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of other stuff that doesn't look quite as...
Ursula looked really weird in this, because I'm used to her, like, being upright.
Right.
In this, she's, like, I don't know if because I didn't know how to do it, but she's on her back a lot, and, like, you don't see her. Like, she's getting dragged by her legs, or, like, on a ceiling like a spider.
Oh, Flotsam and Jetsam, the eels in it.
Yeah, they don't talk or anything.
Oh, dumb.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, why do some talk and some not in there? Like, it's pretty weird. Yeah, I was, like, very confused. And when I left, I saw some people I knew. And they're like, how good was it? I was like, it's also not for me. And I also, like, but this whole thing truly fascinates me.
You liked the Jungle Book one and the Lion King one. I feel like this, like, is probably more for you than it is me, even though, like, I feel like I like these originals too much to allow myself to
I liked the Jungle Book and the Lion King one, I think, like, on a technical level. And I was thinking about it, I think it's more the curiosity factor.
Right.
Like, I think I was more like, oh, how are they going to do that? Like, you know what I mean? But yeah. There's a big curiosity factor. So I get why it works. But it's also just such, I mean, obviously, like, there's been so many people that have spoken about this, but the whole thing is such a fascinating exercise. Like, I think it's 2015, so they really started it with Cinderella, mm-hmm. or was that 2013? Apparently, people still say
no, it all starts with Alice in Wonderland.
It's the Tim Burton one.
Yeah.
But the Cinderella one, apparently people say is, like, the high, like, that's a really pretty good one.
Right.
And I think that's Kenneth Branagh directed it.
Yeah.
And then...
Which makes sense, given, like, yeah.
His, like, Shakespearean stuff and stage stuff. But then I think it's what's after that is that Jungle Book.
I think so, yeah.
And that was like that made so much more money than they expected.
Jungle Book, Beauty and the Beast, like
and they all make this makes so much more money than the originals.
Yeah.
And so they just keep making it, and it's kind of like insane. Like the thing that blows my mind still, and I think we touched on it, is that like the gap between the existing films. Release like the originals and the new ones is smaller, like Moana.
Dude, but I feel like I reckon they didn't have any plans to do Moana
until the DC thing.
Until Black Adam fucking failed, and this is The Rock just trying going, what do people like me in?
Yeah, in Fast and Furious.
So we got Fast and Furious back, and he got
Moana
back.
It's fucking psycho.
Yeah, and I like it sucks that he wields enough power to scare Disney into doing a Moana remake. Like fucking less than 10 years after it comes out. That's so insane.
What's also weird to me is that they're like, and maybe this will stop given the, we've heard everyone say less streaming, but how they go like, all right, Peter Pan, that's by like the director of The Green Knight. Like
yep.
That goes to streaming. You know what I mean? You're just kind of like, well, why does that one go to streaming? And this one doesn't.
It's like, Peter Pan and Wendy. It's like, oh, it's about,
But it's just so funny. And they're like, oh, Lady and the Tramp. Like, they make some. They're like, that one's streaming.
Oh, yeah. I forgot they made a Lady and
the
Tramp.
I think it was like the first thing on Disney Plus.
Yeah. It feels like, do you remember when they cannibalized themselves, Disney, when they started making all of the director VHS sequels?
Yeah. And they did that because the... Yeah, it was cheap. They could do shit animation.
It was so
cheap,
but they would make so much fucking money.
Yeah, they made like three Little Mermaid movies.
It would be like, 5 million budget. To make it, and then they'd make back 200 million.
Yeah, the home entertainment market was crazy. They made like three Lion King sequels about like Simba's son or something.
Yeah, there's a Little Mermaid sequel and a Little Mermaid prequel.
I think they made like Cinderella prequels and sequels and Peter Pan. Like,
yeah.
And it's crazy.
And then they realized that like some of these movies... Where the characters, you know, where it's like literally the last line is, and then they lived happily ever after. If you make a sequel to it, you destroy that ending. So then they started going, okay, well, why don't we make movies set in the middle of
the movie? Really?
So there's a, I remember we owned one that was the Beauty and the Beast Christmas movie, and it's the Christmas that Beauty spent with the Beast. Because also, if you make a Beauty and the Beast sequel, it's just going to be like,
normal
two
people
humans
hanging out.
Like, and with human servants.
Yeah.
So yeah, that it's set during.
I remember this, even being as a kid and being like, Christmas. These look like dog shit. I was like, this doesn't look like.
Yeah, I feel like my.
And you know, it was the era too where they not only had the straight to video shows, but they'd have series. Like, wasn't there a Beauty and the Beast series and there was like an Aladdin series?
The Aladdin series is good.
But it was so weird that they were just
totally.
Let's just do this.
Well, yeah, that
but it's not weird because it's exactly what they're doing now on Disney Plus.
Totally. And it kind of shows that, like, yeah, I feel like history just keeps repeating itself with, like, they, you know, and then they did this with Disney Channel as well. As soon as they have more outlets and stuff, they just fill it.
Yeah.
And now, like, when you have a streaming service, it's like, it's infinite.
It's so just you.
You can just fill.
Yeah.
I really hope that, like,
I reckon this will make money, but I think it's going to be, I think critics will hate it and it will just make money because people love going to see movies, like musical things. Like Beauty and the Beast made hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's so stupid.
Yeah. And like,
it's such a piece of shit.
Oh, I can't, I'm glad
we should go through like the last 10 years, movies that made $1 billion and
try to figure out
which ones are good and which ones
are. You know what it all is? No, it's the infantilization of adults.
Yeah, it's Disney to a T. Like,
That's why these things are making billions of dollars because people are like too scared to face the world.
Like, look at all the fucking bullshit toys that's around us. You're like, talk about
these
it.
Fucking babies.
But it's different.
It's different because they're from Japan. Yeah, it's just like, it's grim. Yeah, it was funny though. I left and ran into a colleague and then Anthony the Blue Wiggle came up and was chatting to us because... He, you know, we have a relationship with him because of like lack of version and stuff like that. And he's like, oh, boys, what'd you think? And I was like, yeah, a bit long for me, Anthony Blue Wiggle. And he's like, yeah, I was watching it. He's like, I've never seen the original. And I was going, oh, can't wait for when they sing A Whole New World. And I'm like, not that movie, Anthony. Yeah. He's like, yeah, my daughter said. And then I was waiting for I Can't Wait to Be King. Is that it? And I'm like, different movie, Anthony. He's like, yeah, no, they didn't come in this one.
That's so funny.
And he's like, what did you think? And I was like, well, I tell you what, if it had a Hakuna Matata in it, it would have been fucking good. And I was like, damn, that was great.
That is so funny.
It's so good.
Because like, he was like working in children's education for like, you know, a decade.
Yeah, that shit just blends together. He's not a fan. He works in it. He's just like, yeah, whatever. So he's just
but
like,
that he hasn't, yeah. And he's got children. I guess, that, you know, when you write.
He's a wiggle.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
It was great. He had no idea. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's definitely not in this, dude. That's sick.
I think like he's someone that I would not be able to like withhold myself from like complaining to if I ever met him.
About what?
Bagpipes.
Oh, that song, right?
So midway through,
I remember you spoke about it. I think we did an episode on
it. Yeah, when like B and I were talking about it recently. Tilly's first obsession was Wiggles, and we used to have to listen to their music in the car all the time, or she wouldn't not scream.
What a bitch!
At one point, he just decided he loves bagpipes now. And there was a fucking bagpipe solo.
I reckon I've seen photos of him in a single song. I reckon he's probably embracing. His heritage.
And like, yeah, to the point where it's like, they would do stuff like where they introduce itself and it'd be like, my name's Emma and I love ballet. My name's Lockie and I love to sing. And then it'd be like, my name's Anthony and I love bagpipes. Like, fuck no. Immediately.
Man,
yeah.
There's even more Wiggles now.
Yeah, there's like
20 now or something.
Did you ever watch that amazing Defunct Land that came out last week?
No, you sent it to me though, the ride.
Yeah.
Where was it?
So it's such a fucking good video. If you haven't seen it, it's on the Defunct Land YouTube channel. He does like, have you watched any of his videos before? So it's like, he'll find like failed attractions or failed theme parks and do a deep dive on them. He does this unbelievably succinct history of not just the Wiggles. Yeah, and he's an American, by the way. He didn't grow up with any of this shit. But it's about the Wiggles dark ride at Dream World on the Gold Coast. And he does a history of Dream World. He does a history of dark rides and combines all three of those things in this like phenomenal video that kind of sets up the theme park and the Wiggles as things that deserved better. And then like, yeah, totally shits on the ride. And all the parts of it that weren't great, but in like a weirdly respectful way, that's still really funny.
All right.
Yeah. It's a perfect video to
me. That's good.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
But yeah, that's so funny that he doesn't know songs from The Little Mermaid.
I love that. That's like Elvis not knowing what the fuck like a Roy Orbison song sounds like or something. She's like, yeah, I don't know. I guess it's that song. Sorry, I'm making 9 albums a year about fucking apples. Like, oh, of course he doesn't know what the songs are.
Well, no, as soon as it wasn't that original lineup of Wiggles, the songs just stopped.
Flop era?
Well, it's just, they make so much money, but like, those four.
No, I mean, artistic flop era.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's like, they were like a
rock. Flop era is usually group. You make money, but so you're like, just shit.
Those early, the Wiggles songs that we grew up with, they're like Rolling Stone songs, except they're about, you know, pointing your fingers and
brown
doing
sugar,
the twist.
About a
exactly.
cup of sugar.
Now it's just like real spur of the moment. It's like, oh, like, you know, like
cars are big.
Exactly.
Big,
it's like extreme cars. Stream of consciousness stuff. It's like, or it'll be like something very specific.
Who just
like,
run out of
hey, things. let's do a song about why you Mangoes. Shouldn't bring nuts to school because people have allergies.
Is that literally a song?
Yeah. And it's like, you better not bring nuts to school because some kids have allergies.
Is that literally a thing?
And it's like, yeah, it's like, it's just someone saying like the idea
also, like, kids
of a song
nuts.
And then they just make that the chorus.
Kids don't like nuts either. Like, a kid's never going to go, oh, can I please take some nuts?
No, my kids are always like, can I bring some fucking almonds?
Yeah, that's weird.
Almonds are the best.
Yeah, but tiny teddies are better. I mean, like, as a kid. Like,
sure, yeah.
That's what I mean. A kid's not going to be like, oh, I need some walnuts.
Like, yeah, one of my son's friend's mom's works at Arnott's. So she will occasionally be like, here's 100 packets of tiny teddies,
that's
guys.
So sick. That's so cool. They're going to look back on that and be like, that's amazing moments in history.
Fuck dad and his
dumbass
bullshit he got us.
A kid moved to my street from New Zealand because his dad took over Coke Australia after being like Coke New Zealand.
Wow.
And me and my friend, it was like fucking South Park or Simpsons. me and Tech Guru Steve made ourselves very...
Lots of great callbacks to early HeyFam references.
We made ourselves
maybe we
like,
shouldn't reboot the podcast.
No, I don't want to change it. I don't know. Were you serious when you said that?
I don't know.
Yeah. I thought about it later. I was like, no, I didn't like that. I felt like someone saying
just
like,
the name just feels so meaningless.
But like, doesn't matter.
You're right.
What are we going to... Like, it doesn't matter at all. It's so stupid to think, like, what, because you know whatever name we come up with is going to be, like, dog shit compared to that.
Hello,
like,
family. It's great.
It's not. It sounds like a Christian
that's
podcast.
That's what I like about it.
No, I don't like it. Yeah, me and we made ourselves very available to
Hola,
hang out with
familiar.
The kid. And we went over there, like, several afternoons in the span of 1 week. Had a basketball hoop and we're like playing basketball. We're making ourselves get thirsty and we're like, oh man, I'm really thirsty right now. We're just like, man, apparently this guy has like Coke everywhere. We're like 9, 10 and he's like, oh, okay, I can get you some water. And we're just like, okay. And we're just like, oh man, whew, really, really thirsty. And like the fucking dude wouldn't buy. He had no idea that Coke was such a lucrative soft drink as a 9-year-old because I think he grew up with it.
So I used to get roasted when I was a kid because my mum would always keep a bottle of Coke in the fridge and I would have friends over. And they'd be like, oh, can we have the Coke? And I'd be like, oh, no, that's mom's Coke. For, you know, when she feels like Coke, she has the Coke. You know, you can have cordial, water, milk, but you can't have the Coke. And like, my friends, like, would refer to it as the forbidden Coke.
That's pretty funny.
And, like, I got roasted because my mom had a bottle of Coke in the
that's
fridge.
That's pretty funny. Times. My mom never drank Coke.
But, like, when you had friends over...
She doesn't want to. Do you know why?
When you had friends over, though, was it like, yeah, help yourself to whatever?
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah, right.
Yeah, less alcohol because, like, they were 9. My mum didn't drink Coke because she thought it would taste like... She had an association with it because a family member used to drink Coke and bourbon and she hated the smell.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, growing up, I hated it. And so she's like, I probably know it doesn't taste like that, but I can't... I don't want to drink it because I think it's going to taste like a dark spirit.
My Roy
family...
I don't
mean, like, scary, like a spirit. I mean,
yeah,
I know. Yeah.
Everyone knows.
I don't know. Mine.
My Roy family moment growing up is that from about age 6 and up, I would make my grandpa his scotch and Coke.
That's very Roy.
No, sorry, Bundy and Coke.
That's almost...
No, Captain Morgan.
That's more a Mad Men. You know how they're just, like, kids making... their dad's, like, in the 60s, just, like, hard alcohol drinks.
And I remember, like, trying it and being like, oh, this is actually nice. Like,
really?
Yeah. Coke and, like, because, you know, you would
oh, yeah, taste the soft drink.
Beer or a spirit on its own. You're like, oh, my God, why the fuck would they put themselves
tastes
to
like
this?
Shit. I still remember, like, drinking a beer at 12, like, from the fridge when my parents were out. Or, like, 13. Yeah. Just, like, very curious. I didn't drink the whole can. It's like one of my dad's friends came over, must have BYO'd. My dad didn't drink VB cans. He always drank it back then. He was like Mr. Nobody. He drank like really nice German Weissbier.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's a can. I'll drink it and just like throw it away. I think I buried it because I was so paranoid. And I was just like, this tastes like fucking shit. I was just like, why do I drink this shit? It's so bad.
Oh yeah. Or even in high school, like when we were all 15 or whatever and going to house parties and everyone was trying to learn, like teach teach themselves how to like beer.
And they pretend like it's normal. They're like, oh yeah, no, this is a good beer.
No, so we were, the rumor going around that in order to like beer, you had to drink one when you were already drunk. And I swear on my life, like I did. And I was like, this is delicious. And from that day forward, I liked beer.
Mum's Coke. Is that mum's beer?
Mum's the forbidden beer.
That's so funny. Yeah, Coke. Love it. Don't drink that much of it.
What do you go for? Just the original recipe, or you're more of a Coke? You used to have a bottle of, was it Coke Zero Vanilla. Sugar?
Yeah, I just have occasionally now, I'll have like a straight up like Coke in glass.
I know we have way too much American shit on our shelves here, but why don't we have like a, where's the LaCroix situation here?
Yeah, I have to go to petrol stations to get
and pay like fucking $6 for a bottle of mineral water with,
it's
like
more expensive the suggestion than drinking, of a flavor in it. Alcohol.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Strong zeros are cheaper than
100%. Yeah, no, I just drink water now and sparkling. That's pretty much also like cost of living crisis. You know, beggars can't be choosers. I don't like juice. Like, I like a sip, but then like living alone, and like I've got a bottle, it just goes off. You know, I don't have milk. I don't drink milk. It's like, just basically open my fridge, it's just water. It's variations of water. It's pretty like depressing.
Can you do coffee?
Yeah, black coffee in the morning. I have a filter drip, like diner style. Have that set for 7:05 a.m. Smell those beans coming out. 2 glasses before work. Much, and then a cup when I get to work. I'm about a 4 or 5 cup a day guy.
You were doing more than that, like, I feel like earlier in the year.
Yeah, probably. And in the winter, sorry, in the summer, I switched to, I have a Japanese cold brew.
Beautiful.
And I set that the night before and it drips.
Oh, okay, sure.
By the next morning.
Well, this designer got your drip.
Seriously, that's kind of all I drink. I've got like a 50s housewife diet when it comes to liquid, just black coffee. All I'm missing is the grapefruit. And then I would be a 50s.
And the ham steak.
Yeah, and the ham steak. Yeah.
Have you ever had a ham steak?
Isn't that Spam?
No, it's like just this big fucking chunk of ham.
I've seen pictures of it. It just feels like one of those things they phased out. Oh, you know what's funny? When I was watching Hardcore, the opening scenes at Christmas, it's like late 70s, and they're just serving up those like jelly salads.
Oh, gross. The aspic.
Just foul. Like, I've never seen it in motion before.
Lowest point of inhumanity food-wise, yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen it in motion. I've only seen like photos from like, you know, remember when the internet used to be just like, wow, here's photos of food from the 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
Before people said like the N-word while wearing MAGA hats. Like, it went from that to that in like 15 years. But yeah, I'd never seen it move before. And just seeing it in motion, you just, oh, who's putting that in their fucking mouth?
Yeah, totally.
Damn.
So we are going to hit stop on HeyFam and then we're going to hit start on PayFam. We've saved something very good for tonight's PayFam. It's the penultimate episode of Succession.
Yeah.
Aired this week. It was an absolute belter. And that means one last episode of Succession remains until it ceases to exist as a show forever.
It's pretty crazy that right now we don't know how the show ends, and we haven't. But then as of next week, we're always going to be knowing how Succession ended.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, that's a weird thought.
So I want to get into like our thoughts. Who do you think's going to win? What do you think's going to happen? Talk about this season as a whole, which I've loved. I know you've loved too.
Phenomenal.
I've seen couple of contrarian fucks saying it's mid. Get out of here with your life.
Go home, watch season 2 of True Detective.
Yeah, that's right. Get back to us.
Fucking get back to us, okay? This is like the... Yeah, all seasons of Succession are just incredible. And I think it's like this one, the emotion... Like, I think on Succession by rule, the characters are even better when their like emotions are heightened. And these guys have been like... heightened since the first frame of episode 1 this season because of the insane circumstances they've been under, the stress, it's insane.
Listen to this guy. Wouldn't you just love to hear another hour of that?
Probably not.
Come to patreon.com/heyfam for our big Succession chat. And I forgot, I finally filmed all the videos that I needed to film in order to give Angus his presents from Japan.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So there's heaps too. So
we're going to talk about food and whether or not it can be fun. Levins and I rediscovered this week.
How just...
Yeah, we're just saying, Brie Larson pizza. That's all
Brie
we're saying.
Brie Larson pizza. Brie Larson pizza, the real pizza gate.
The real pizza gate is happening before our eyes. And we'll go into how...
Come join us over at patreon.com/heyfam. You also get to join our Discord. $5 a month is all it costs to get a bonus episode of Hey Fam every single week. And this one is going to be a real...
It's a fucking doozy.
Real doozy, absolutely.
I've heard some demos. of the pod of, you know,
yep, some tonight's episode. And pizza. Well, come and join us.
I can't wait. We're right there.